stride. Someone with whom I spend the rest of my days. But if I ever said I wasn't set in my ways, well then I guess you caught me lying to myself. What kind of fool doesn't think about it? What kind of fool doesn't think about it? You have to be a fool not to think about it.
Welcome to Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only Camp Spruce radio show that strictly talks hockey. We've got a guest on tonight on the phone, so we're going to hold your calls for today.
Excited to have this gentleman. I do want to start off, though, before we get into our guest and have him on and talk to him about everything. Heartfelt shout-out to Sudbury, Ontario native Alex Trebek today in his battle against stage 4 pancreatic cancer, if you haven't heard. He's currently gonna take that battle on and see if he can down that. Trebek, as you may know, best known for as the host of Jeopardy, a role he's held since 1984. 78 years old.
78.
Proudly
years
Canadian
young.
Still. So our thoughts are with Mr. Trebek in this battle. And the correct question to the answer, Alex Trebek, is who kicked cancer's rear end in 2019? There you go.
Who is?
Alex. Who is Alex Trebek? As we fade out Sloan and the rest of my life, as he dedicates the rest of his life to defeating cancer, and good for him to see that going. Want to bring in a man who who's well known for a little artwork and battling and kicking a little rear end as well in terms of his life. Adam Bob McKinney, you may be aware of that site. If you're not, you should get on there and check everything out, because that's where everything got started for one man. And that seed of artistry, we'll say, has blossomed into all sorts of opportunities. He's now works alongside Pittsburgh sports icon Dejan Kovacevic, if I can pronounce his name correctly, on DKPittsburghSports.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to bring in, we are proud, we are honored, we are privileged, we are humbled to welcome back to the Hockey Show, Mr. Rob Ullman. Rob, how are you, sir?
Hello, gentlemen. I'm great.
Good, good.
Happy to be with you.
Glad to have you back with a little Sloan kick it off. I know you and you've got your kids into the Sloan music sphere now in terms of everything that's going on there. How are they with the Canadian sort of music scene?
Canadiana.
Well, let me. As they're getting a little older, my daughter's almost 12 now. Yeah. My son's almost 8. So naturally, they make fun of everything I like.
What?
But I have to say, as Canadian bands go, my daughter's favorite band is probably the New Pornographers.
Oh, good choice.
That's the one that when I play that, that's the one that she really gravitates toward. I know I've played it on a lot of road trips and all that, so there's all these great associations for them. Both of them, but mainly my daughter. But one of these days when they come tour, and next time they come tour, if they play in Richmond or DC or someplace near me, we're gonna go. I want that to be her first rock show. You know,
I was a big fan, and I still am a fan. Don't get me wrong. Pornographer's fantastic band. I was a big fan of their 2014 release, Brill Bruisers, which was heavily played here on this station. So
good.
Yeah.
They just don't lose a beat. The one that came out, I don't know, maybe it was 2016, 2017. I'm not exactly sure the release date. It's great as well. They just get better and better.
See, this is why we like having you on, Rob. You're basically like I'm going to say a pseudo Canadian at this point with your knowledge on Canadian music here. Yeah. This is fantastic.
And I think they were at Folk Fest last year as well.
They were correct. Yes, yeah.
Didn't see them, but a lot of people did out here. So.
They haven't been here in a little while. I haven't seen, or at least maybe I might have maybe missed them or something. I'm definitely due for a show. It's been a long time since I got to see them live.
I was going to say, I'm just looking up to see if they have a tour date, anything going on here, but I don't see any upcoming concerts or festival dates for them. So perhaps there's a new album maybe that's in store for us, but, we'll keep an eye on what they're doing there.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, Rob, does a lot of work, in terms of drawing sports icons in terms of pinup and burlesque kind of women, but also does a ton of work in terms of Pittsburgh and or I guess Allegheny County sort of sports icons there in terms of the work he does on the DKPittsburghSports.com site. Let's get into a little bit of what you do and where you do it, Rob. Where can people find your work? Because I mean, Lord knows it's not going to be on there for free and certainly for very long if people keep buying it the way they're buying it. So
yeah, so I have a weekly strip on DKPittsburghSports.com. It's called Cartoon Cannon, and it runs every Tuesday morning. New strip every Tuesday morning, and it just basically it picks out some aspect of Pittsburgh sports history. Going, you know, all the way back to the beginning of century, the beginning of organized sports in the city, all the way up to, you know, sometimes things that happened last week, just depending. and it's fun just, you know, to play. I'm a fan of all those teams. I definitely don't have that journalism thing where, you know, you cover the team, you're not a fan. I am unabashedly a fan, but it's nice to be able to kind of celebrate it, you know, this way and pick out, you know, aspects of the history of the Penguins, but also, you know, the AHL Hornets, who played there once, had a strip on the Roller Hockey International team that played there for one season, the Pittsburgh Phantoms, a lot of Steelers, a lot of Pirates, Arnold Palmer, Harry Greb, just anybody with a Pittsburgh connection has, you know, it's fair game for me to take on. So it's just a fun way to get to sort of explore that stuff. I love doing all the research, looking into, you know, these things and finding these little nuggets of history. And it's a great place to put all that to good use.
And speaking of history, I mean, you do a ton of work sort of on the side as well, creating the old-timey hockey tales, the comic book that people can pick up that literally is illustrated to represent exactly what went on during some of these old-time hockey sort of stories that maybe people hear. I know you and I had worked on one a couple of issues back about the names on the back of the Leafs jerseys that were virtually invisible, and then you've got essentially the newest version out right now goes into a bunch of news stories as well. So where can people find that? Because I think that's probably one of the to me, and again, I'm a little biased being a hockey guy, but to me, I think that's one of your best works that you've done to date.
Well, it's probably my favorite thing that I've worked on. Because it does have a little more, you know, a little less narrow appeal than just Pittsburgh, certainly. But yeah, with old-timey hockey tales, I take on just whatever interesting story I can find from hockey history. Again, most of the stuff in that book, hence the title old-timey, I try not to go too far back into history. I try to go further back into history as opposed to doing anything that's too recent. Because, you know, once you start getting into things that happened during my lifetime and it's called old timey, that's just, I don't want to contemplate being that old. But for instance, right now I just started working a couple of, you know, weeks ago on a story about the Stastny brothers and their escape from behind the Iron Curtain, their defection to play for the Quebec Nordiques. That was 1980, so that's about as close as I want to get. But I do have a new issue three of Old Timey Hockey Tales. It's been out for a little bit, and it is available. The easiest way to contact me is just through my website, robalman.com, just my name, .com, and you can find it there, or on adambombikini.net. Adam Bomb Bikini is sort of my catch-all name for all the other kind of stuff that I do, and both of those places, you dial those up and they'll take you right to it. But I'm very pleased with how the third issue came out. I kind of tackled some stuff with a little more depth, maybe the story of Larry Kwong, who, if you're unfamiliar, was he was a Chinese Canadian man who couldn't play in the NHL back when he was a kid, back in the late 30s, early 40s. He was just the rules of the time and all that sort of thing. He wasn't considered a full citizen, and he couldn't leave the country, and all these crazy prejudicial things forced upon him. But he eventually played. He eventually was able to join the NHL and had a very, very brief career, despite being an amazing hockey player, and just had an incredible life. He traveled overseas. I believe he still holds some records in England, where he played for a time. And he actually he passed away finally just a couple of years ago. Last year, I think it was, at the age of 98 or something like that. So this incredibly rich life, and it's just a very interesting story. I read a little bit about it in the New York Times and became fascinated with this guy's life. So did a little story on him, and there's other things in there. Issue 3 has story of Ace Bailey and what the terrible things that happened to him. A little more lighthearted stuff with a fella named now I can't remember his name. Convy, that's it, Eddie Convy, who was a hockey player who he was friends with King Clancy. They knew each other, but his career wasn't going so well, and so King kind of decided that he was going to help him out. But poor Eddie couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. They basically gave him in a game that was a rout. They gave him a clear shot to the net, and you know, try to get some goals and get your scoring touch back. And he was just useless. And so there's a funny story. You know, those kind of things that happen that you just can't imagine ever happening today. They're always great. That's what I love about going back and looking at the history of hockey. There's just so many interesting characters and these situations that just kind of make your jaw drop.
So if you're looking for Rob's stuff, I'm going to link that on the Hockey Blog in Canada webpage as well, so you can find that. So make sure you check there if you're looking for Rob's stuff, because it's phenomenal. I'm 100% in agreement with him that this third installment of Old Timey Hockey Deals might be the best work yet. So make sure you get over there and take a look at that out. Take a look at that and check that out. Sorry, excuse me, in terms of getting in there. Let's get into some of the hockey stuff, because we want to ask you, Rob, being that you're a designer and you're an artist and you're an illustrator, that there's some chance here for maybe to get your work on the ice if Seattle comes calling.
Yes.
Thoughts on the new Seattle team joining the NHL, the 32nd NHL team joining the NHL eventually in a few years?
It's amazing, isn't it? Finally, there's going to be a team in Seattle. It seems like we've been talking about it for a long time. I visited Seattle just about a year and a half ago. It was the first time I'd ever been out there, and I thought it was amazing. And the weather was perfect. The place where we were staying was perfect. It all just lined up in this amazing way. So it probably doesn't represent the entire experience of living in Seattle, but by the time we were done with our trip, my wife and I were like, let's just start looking for houses. Let's just move to Seattle, because it's great. The only thing it's missing is an NHL team, and now they're going to have one.
There you go.
I don't know.
You've been there, like you said. What, when you think of Seattle, what colors come to mind? Because there's a debate over what color they should be. A lot of people are going green. Some people are saying maybe incorporate a little bit of blue, which will look a lot like the Canucks if that's the case. But
yeah,
what comes to mind for the Emerald City? Huh? Wink, wink, hint, hint, as to what color should be used.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's hard to think of Seattle and not think of green and blue. The Seahawks, I've always liked, all of their teams. I've always liked their look. The Seahawks were always, eye-catching. And the Mariners, too, have always looked good. Even the Thunderbirds out there. I have, in my ridiculous collection of jerseys, a Seattle Thunderbirds jersey that's just gorgeous.
Nice.
It could certainly go that way. I don't think that you can go wrong with green and blue as a color scheme. I will say, though, that those original Metropolitans jerseys, they probably just wouldn't fly today. Do you know what I mean? The ones with the...
The stripes and the big S on the front, yeah.
Yeah, sort of like a barber pole, with red, green, and white, or red and green and like a cream color. They're gorgeous, but I just don't think they would fly today, you know?
So, I mean, I'm glad you sort of brought up the Metropolitans, because they're essentially, it looks like the team went out and, I'm going to say, registered 13 different names that it can possibly select. And Metropolitans wasn't one of them. So I'm going to ask you, I'll throw some names out. Beans, by all means, weigh in on these names. I'll throw some names out based upon worst odds of becoming this team, as per Bovada, the odds maker, from worst to first. And you guys can vote on this. So let's start with the worst name that they've generated in terms of odds here are the Seattle Sockeye.
Oof. Wow. Yeah, that's a tough one.
That might be, I'm thinking that's a no. Beans?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it kind of fits the region a little bit, but I mean, yeah, it's just call them the fish.
Well,
then
it's hard to say without hearing some of the others to compare it to. So, I do like that it is unique.
It is unique, yeah. The other names that didn't rank very high: whales, seals, eagles, cougars, firebirds, and sea lions.
Mm. Yeah, those, I think I would probably like sockeye better than almost any of those.
Those aren't very original. Those are just like, let's throw any animal that we can think of at it. Give it a
well,
name.
Especially cougars. I mean, it just seems like that's the name of every junior high school and, you know, or middle school in the world, the cougars.
Regina Cougars, Mount Royal Cougars, Prince George Cougars. In that area, there's a ton of teams already named Cougars, so.
Yeah.
At least in Canada, anyway. Yeah. The ones that did rank higher. Here are the ones that did rank higher, and I'll go backwards on these ones as well. Renegades, the Kraken, Evergreens, Rainiers, Totems, and Emeralds.
Wow.
Emeralds was number one, to be honest, in terms of the
Emeralds
odds.
Was number one.
Yeah. Which I think is
That's
ridiculous.
Not bad.
I think it's ridiculous only because I've never heard of a team actually becoming a rock. Like, you don't have the gold, you have the Golden Knights, you don't have...
What are you telling me? The Toronto Rock.
That's different,
They're
though.
Literally that's, just a rock.
That's different.
Well, I believe the WNBA team in Cleveland was the Cleveland Rocks.
Okay.
But it was, you know, rock and roll.
Rock and roll,
not,
yeah.
Not Stones. I like Totems. I think that's... I think that has a nice sound to it.
Yeah.
Or Rainiers, that's great as well. And, I mean, it doesn't get much more specific than that for Seattle,
nope,
does it?
No. I mean, and I mean, if you really want to bring in, you know, some of the colors, I mean, you can go red and yellow in terms of the actual active volcano that's on Mount Rainier, so.
Yeah. I really hope they end up with something like that, something like that's a little more specific, because everything else there, you know, in that town, too. You know, if you go back and look, you know, even back to the Supersonics, unfortunately, they're gone. But that was a great name. And the Seahawks, I think, is a really good name. And the Mariners, it's just all, you know, it seems like you could almost be, you know, well, it'd be 3 for 3 now, but, you know, 4 for 4 for big, for pro team names in Seattle, if they go with something like Rainiers or Totems.
I'm not going to lie. I've been on this boat since they first announced it, but I think the Kraken is still a phenomenal name and gives you all sorts of possibilities with promotions and or jerseys.
And that's for sure.
And we've talked about this, how the best name for your arena
would be the Krakos at that point.
So it's really there for the hockey show. There is no other choice.
I mean, that kind of fits for us. So. Yeah.
That is pretty great. The only thing, and this is just one of those, it's a pet peeve, it's personal, but the one, you know, the singular names for teams are not always my favorite, like the Minnesota Wild or the Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't like those as much. Because, you know, what do you say? It's his third season as a Kraken. But that's just one of those little things that, yeah, that's an old man yells at clouds sort of complaint.
See, the one thing I thought that they could do, though, being that Jerry Bruckheimer is an owner of, they would work in that whole release the Kraken, you know, from the movies and or the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Show.
They had the big, exactly. There's a big tie in here. Bruckheimer was a major part of that Pirates of the Caribbean franchise that Disney had. So
that is true.
One up the Vegas Golden Knights.
Exactly. You want to take it to a new level, entertainment to a new level. Let Bruckheimer go crazy.
Yeah, the breaking through the ice. Wow. Oh, that would be awesome.
It'd be cool to
see.
Right,
I'm on board.
Yeah, all right.
I'm on board.
We're slowly getting them.
All we need to do is convince the Seattle team now to take that name. That's all we got to do. It's perfect.
That should be easy. Yeah. I mean, with what we just went through over the last few minutes, convincing the team should be easy. Absolutely.
I think I off the top, just like you said, though, Rob, I think it's about time that Seattle gets a team out there. I think that's going to make certainly the rivalry with Vancouver and maybe even San Jose much better. But I like the idea of Seattle getting that team simply because that road trip now becomes a little bit more dangerous and a little bit longer for teams that think that it's going to be sort of, you know, a West Coast 1-2-3 and back home. It's now four or five teams you got to play along that coast, and that road trip is now a week to 2 weeks long instead of just being a week long.
Yeah, well, you know, speaking as a fan of a team back east, you really do, you know, you look forward to that trip. You look forward to that West Coast swing. Usually the Penguins seem to, you know, they'll have two of them. You know, maybe they'll hit Denver or Winnipeg, you know, one time, and then the other time they'll, you know, or they sort of have actually, I guess, the Canada swing where they head out west all the way and end up in Vancouver and then come back, whatever. But you do look forward to those. And the more games, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
So there's been a bunch of other jerseys that have been introduced this year. Not that Seattle has introduced theirs yet, but we're expecting that to come soon. But alt jerseys seem to be decidedly either one direction or another, in that there's a number of black jerseys again, and there's a number of retro jerseys, and then there's sort of people who range in between, sort of teams that range in between. But thoughts on each of these, and you guys can throw out one word if you want on these before we get to the break here. But Tampa Bay going black, good idea, bad idea?
I don't like it.
Beans?
Yeah, I mean, black is too plain. I mean, maybe they're going with lightning and storms and blackness and darkness.
Good idea or bad idea? I don't care about your rationale.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
I don't like it.
Carolina going black again with that stupid flag design.
With that one, I'm just sort of meh. You know,
yeah.
I don't really. It doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't.
And this is where I have a real problem now, because if they're that popular wearing the Hartford Whalers logo, why don't they just make the Whalers their alternate uniform?
Yeah, it's true. It really is. I mean, nothing that the Carolina Hurricanes are ever going to do is going to be as popular as if they just dress like the team that they replaced
exactly
20 years ago. It's insane, but it's true. It really is.
I would like them better if they just said bunch of jerks on the front. That I'm okay with it.
That's fantastic. Oh, yeah. I like that. Yeah. Arizona went black again this year. No surprise there, I think.
Yeah, with the Kachina, yep. I believe.
I mean, I like the fact they went back to it.
I'm a huge fan of that jersey.
So am I.
I just love the jersey itself. So
I would have liked to see them go white, too. Though. I would have liked to see the white jersey come back.
Just bring back the whole white-black.
Well, yeah, that would have been good, yeah.
Yeah.
Anaheim bringing back the Mighty Ducks.
Kind of.
Well, that one is, I'm a little less, I may be an outlier here, but I never really was a big fan of that anyway. So seeing it come back was just sort of, I don't know, it's fine. But it never really, I remember when the Ducks came into the league and I was just like, wait, they're the Mighty Ducks? You mean like the movie? And it all just sort of went with that. And so I don't know. The Ducks are there, but I have to say, though, you know, what replaced that look originally, just that word mark across the front, might be one of my least favorite NHL jerseys of all time.
I agree.
So, yeah.
I like what they're doing there in Anaheim, though. It's like 20 years celebrating the whatever, how many years they've been there, but bringing back a lot of their old jerseys.
For the warm-ups and stuff?
Warm-ups and stuff. I like that idea. It's a cool thing. So
San Jose in black, again.
Yeah, San Jose in black. It's just, teal is such a San Jose thing. It just never made sense to me that they would ever wear anything else.
They just might as well wear recycled garbage bags.
Good comment. I like it. L.A. going gray.
Yeah, that one's... no... I don't care for that one either. go. They have so many other things to draw from in their history.
I agree.
To go just gray seems.
Go back to purple and gold.
That would, you know what? Again, I like that idea as well. If you're going to go anything, go retro. Speaking of retro, Calgary and Washington both go retro. Thoughts on those ones?
I think they both look great. I've watched a bit of. Mike Smith has been my fantasy goalie. Let me tell you about my fantasy goalie.
Oh, man. I was going to say, that's not a fantasy. That's a nightmare, isn't it?
Well, he's been good, and I've watched a few more of their games this season than I probably normally would have. And, that looks great. Now, that jersey looks good. They've sort of had an identity crisis the last few years. It's like you can't really decide exactly what they want to be or what they want to wear, but you can't go wrong with that. That one's beautiful.
Beans?
I pretty much any retro jersey I'm a fan of.
Ottawa going with their O face.
that's the face you make when you see their jersey.
Again, they have that giant O on the front.
Yeah. Oh.
I have to say, I kind of like the O.
I actually don't mind the striping on it. I have to agree.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
I like that crazy barber pole design and just the big O. I guess it is technically retro, is it not? It's made
kinda,
to
the throwback,
look like what they looked like back in the teens. I think that was good.
Colorado, Columbus, and the Islanders. Who knows what they're doing with their alternates, but they're not really in the same vein as their regular jerseys.
Yeah. Columbus jersey is. I watched them play Pittsburgh the other night, and they were wearing those cream and blue ones, and they're fine. I don't hate them. I was like just sort of looking at it for a while and thinking like there's just a cannon on there. That's kind of strange.
Exactly.
But whatever.
Yeah.
A clip art cannon.
Colorado and the Islanders.
Colorado. I like the way they're sort of looping in the C. That's always been one of my favorite state flags, the Colorado state flag and the Rockies sign. I've always dug that. It's weird that they changed the colors around so much, but
Does it bother you that they're Quebec? That franchise is Quebec and the Devils are the Rockies, though? Like, that kind of bothers me a little bit.
That is kind of weird. Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. Well, there's so much that bothers me about the Devils.
True,
I don't know where to start, but yeah. That's an odd one. Now, the Devils, well, I don't want to jump the gun, but the Devils, when they do their green and red.
They need to do that more often.
The throwbacks are always it seems like they're always better. I don't know why that is.
100% agree.
Yeah, probably one of my favorite retro jerseys in the NHL right now is the Devils green and red.
So they wear twice a year.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
What do you think? Okay. And here, I mean, this is going to be a question maybe because you're not that far away from the actual city that it's based on. What do you think of Winnipeg's alternate jersey, considering it appears that they may have stolen the design from Johnston?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's... I was thinking about that the other day because I was looking at some old photographs. And now, is that based, the Jets, is that based on something that they wore in the past that I'm not aware of? Something from the early days?
Not even close.
The lettering is a slight take on something, but not...
Winnipeg has never had a team that looked like that.
Never.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll see. That's... I was kind of trying to suss that out myself because I hadn't read any of the press, you know, releases or all that, you know, three paragraphs of everything. Well, the loop in the J signifies the way that the river flows in the summer or whatever they say. I wasn't exactly sure where they got it from. And I was like, oh, that's just sort of, you know, like when Calgary did that odd word mark a couple of years ago, I just kind of thought it was the same sort of thing. Then I saw an old photo with a lettering of the Jets, but this might be just one of those many occurrences where I just am ignorant and don't know what I'm talking about.
That's okay because we usually just make stuff up as well. So
that's how we do it here.
Beans, your thoughts on the? I mean, we already talked about the alts as it is anyway, but your thoughts on the alts comparatively, we've seen the Heritage jerseys and we love them. So
yeah, the Heritage jersey again are around the Devils type of one of my favorites. I've hated the alternates since they came out.
The aviator jerseys.
I don't think they make any sense for our city and for the heritage of the team. I mean, the team isn't that technically that old, right? But we have a huge past on what Jets used to be, right? To pull from.
Well, we also have, you know, a ton of Thrasher stuff we can pull from as well. But
we want to go. We're almost at the baby blue.
That's true.
Blue.
That is true.
Yeah. I can take a quick keep that in the storage locker. Atlanta stuff.
I don't want to see anything like that. Please.
I think I saw at an away game. I can't remember who they were playing, but behind the bench was a baby blue Thrasher jersey.
Yeah? Look at that.
I can't remember where it was, but it was, yeah.
I'd pay money for people to go to the rink and wear their Brian Little baby blue Thrasher jersey.
There you go.
He's still there. So in saying that, going to take a quick 17-second break for the legal ID here. Stay with us. Rob Ullman with us right now. We're going to talk to him about the stadium series coming up, which went basically not that far away from his place, and whether or not outdoor games have jumped the shark a little bit here. So stay tuned. We'll be back here on 101.5 UMFM in about 17 seconds. Hold on, everybody.
Just throw the money in the wind.
This is Dan Frechette. You're listening to CJUMFM 101.5 in Winnipeg.
Let the wind sing an empty song.
All right, we survived that one. And there you go. See, there's Robbie's back with us.
Yeah, it's quick. Quick and easy.
Okay, so we got to ask you, Rob. Pittsburgh-Philadelphia Stadium Series, I thought it looked horrific on the ice.
Yeah.
I know the weather wasn't that great because it was, like, you know, sunny and like 20 degrees and 20 degrees Celsius,
didn't
like 60 degrees Fahrenheit.
Like pour the night before too.
Yeah, it like rained that. And all that or whatever. We'll start with the obvious thoughts on what they looked like. Cause I think those Flyers jerseys are absolute trash and I don't like the Penguins. I get the yellow, the gold and black in terms of the way, or the yellow and black, the way they're wearing them. But we're done with these stadium series jerseys.
They're almost all like just so terrible, aren't they? They really are. The ones from the game, you know, 2 weeks ago, I thought this is going to sound like a homer pick, but maybe it's, but I don't mean it that way. I would say if it were the other opposite way around, I thought the Flyers looked really bad. I thought that the Penguins looked fine, but yeah. I wasn't very excited about it. The problem with the Flyers was just that orange on the black, seemed hard to read. It just seemed like a mishmash. And the Pens were a little better, but again, it just, I don't know. It just seemed like doing it for its own sake, and I just don't see any reason why they can't just wear what they normally wear. Whether the game itself being outdoors is it something that they need to keep doing? I guess the jury's out on that. I mean, I've never been to one, and I have to admit I am somewhat interested. I briefly thought about trying to go to this one this year because I'm only about 4 or 5 hours from Philadelphia. I was scared to go to Philadelphia, you understand.
as a human being or as a Pittsburgh Penguins fan?
As a Pittsburgh fan.
Okay.
As a Pittsburgh fan, it was one of those things where how am I going to be able to keep a lid on my excitement and not risk death, but also, you know, so I ended up not doing it. But the very thing that happened is the very thing why they're such a crapshoot is the terrible weather. The same thing happened, you know, has happened in several of the, you know, other stadium series games, several of the other the Winter Classic games, even the one in Pittsburgh that they played a few years ago. Just a miserable time sitting outside, chilly, you know, chilled, soaked to the bone, watching hockey from a perch that's up way, way, way too high. I don't know. I think that they could just play the Winter Classic and the Heritage Classic, and that would be plenty. I think that's really kind of all you need.
I'm not debating that at all. I think they've jumped the shark a long time ago. I think that these outdoor games as a, you know, a novelty would have been great if they were played every once every couple of years, maybe once every handful of years, like not 18 or 20 outdoor games a year. Like, well, I don't need that.
And even the once a year is okay, but as soon as you started doing multiples, it got boring.
Yeah.
It got redundant.
It's not a novelty anymore. Yeah. It's just another game.
Yeah. It really is. And well, it's just another game, but it's another meaningful game that to these teams does make a difference in the standings, but you're playing it under these like sideshow conditions that, you know, it could actually kind of be, I mean, if you miss the playoffs by one or two points, that's probably your own fault. But still, they do count. And
right.
When you're playing in these like ridiculous conditions that are just kind of a sideshow, I don't know. I don't think it's the best thing.
See, we're getting ready for another one up here. Heritage Classic next year for us goes in, I believe, at the end of beginning of November in Regina between Calgary and Winnipeg, and it's a home game for Winnipeg. So we actually, if you have season tickets next year, you're only getting 40 games instead of 41
games. So if you're a season ticket holder, can you go to Regina and get your ticket?
No, because that's not included. I mean, you get first opportunity to buy tickets there,
yeah,
but it's not included in terms of your actual seat that you're buying at Bell MTS Center.
Yeah, that's just another aspect of it. The game in now the Winter Classic next year, who is it? Wild and Stars in Dallas.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I've been to Dallas, and it's not exactly what you think of as a chilly climate. Of course, they pulled it off in Los Angeles and even Las Vegas,
sure,
for the love of God. So
yep,
I'm sure that they'll find some way to make it work.
I look at Dallas as a market, and I go, okay, Dallas, big city. I've been through it. Tons of opportunity there in terms of, you know, fans and fan opportunity, you know, building a market anyway. And they're still playing to virtually half empty rinks. Like, is this the best place to put it? To me, I get that you're trying to drum up some business for Dallas, and I understand that as a business side of it. But from an actual marketing standpoint, if you don't sell out whatever stadium they're going to play in, I'm assuming it's going to be Cowboys Stadium.
I believe it's the Cotton Bowl.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say Cowboys Stadium.
Wherever.
7 million tickets.
Whatever. If you don't sell it out, though, I mean, how bad does that look for Dallas?
Yeah, for sure. I had an opportunity. I haven't seen nearly as many hockey arenas as I have seen baseball parks, but I did get to go to see a Stars game. And my wife had a business trip. I tagged along, played Betty Draper, and it was the season opener, and it was great. It was a really good crowd. We were, you know, way up in the nosebleeds and a very full arena and all that sort of thing, and people were really into it. I believe the Stars shut out the Coyotes, but it was a lot of fun. But it was a very different experience than going to games, certainly on the East Coast, you know, even in places like Raleigh, where, you know, I've been a few times, quite a few times. So, it's interesting. It'll definitely be different. It'll definitely be different. And it'll be nice just not to have the Blackhawks in it.
Blackhawks or the Flyers, to be honest, yeah.
Yeah. It'd be nice not to have them involved in any way.
Speaking of Raleigh, let's talk about it, because it seems like you're either with them or against them when it comes to their celebrations. The Carolina Hurricanes, known quite extensively across the world now for their post-game celebrations, which admittedly happens all the time in European hockey, which happens all the time in lower leagues in terms of having a little bit of fun. But it seems like it's long overdue in the NHL when it comes to fun and fan experience. Your thoughts on those celebrations, those crazy celebrations they're pulling off, Rob?
Right. Okay. Well, I will say I'm not a huge fan of celebrations. You see them a lot in football now. It's a big deal, and they practice them and all that. And, you know, and come out with their whole, you know, performance that they've been planning all week. And I'm not, you know, a curmudgeonly old man. I get it that it's supposed to be fun. It's not really my thing, but I wouldn't say that it bothers me. I think what the Hurricanes are doing is honestly pretty funny. I've seen a few of them, and some of them have been kind of underwhelming, but others have been, the one with Evander Holyfield in particular, which I thought was just great.
It was pretty good.
I think it's such a starved for success fan base there, and it's just great to see, you know, the excitement that's going along with all that, and the fact that they just keep winning and they've been playing so well, they're getting to do an awful lot of celebrations, and
yeah.
So it all is part of the whole success that the team is having. I'm sure that they wouldn't be doing it if they were mired in, you know, the bottom third of the standings like they usually are by this time of year. So, yeah, I don't know. I kind of like it. It's one of those things where, you know, it's I'm not going to probably buy a bunch of jerks shirt, but I do, you know, it doesn't bother me. Beans, is that lukewarm enough for you?
No, that's good enough. Yeah, Beans, you're a fan, aren't you?
I am a fan. I think first of all, it brings a whole different type of fan to the game as well. I mean, they struggle for fans, so it's a good thing to bring a new aspect to the game where people can, like, you know, cheer on your team because you want them to win. They lose, you're not going to get that experience at the end of the game. They lose, you know, they win the game. Hey, this is this fun element we have to go through now, and I mean, the players seem to be loving it. The fans seem to be loving it. 90% of people in general, I think, love it. The thing I think I like the most about it is that Don Cherry doesn't like it.
And Brian Burke.
Well, Brian Burke doesn't like anything. That's the thing. But the fact that Don Cherry doesn't like it, and now they're using Don Cherry's comments to increase profit.
So I'm gonna weigh in on that because I was trying to get a bunch of jerks T-shirt. Okay, not a big deal. I thought, I'll go onto the site and I'll... $32 for the T-shirt. Okay, a little pricey, but you know what? It's unique. You can't get it anywhere else. No big deal. It would have cost me $35 to ship it to Canada.
What?
That's what it came down to in terms of shipping. I could not get it for less than $35. I could not select any shipping option that was less than $35.
That's preposterous.
That's what I said. I'm like, if I'm paying for the envelope and the stamp and it's more than the profit than they're making on the shirt, that's ridiculous.
That is preposterous. Well, I will tell you right now, and I will stick to this. One of my best friends here in town, he's a Hurricanes fan. He's been one since the beginning. He has the Bunch of Jerks shirt. He ordered it immediately.
Nice.
And wears it proudly. He's kind of a dour guy. He's one of those always waiting for the other shoe to drop kind of guys.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where he's at. He doesn't want to get too high about it. But I know he's digging the season, digging how it's going. And I know that he's loving the Bunch of Jerks thing. Cause as you said, Beans, if Don Cherry doesn't like it, then I'm probably inclined to like it more. Yeah. just cause I love the thought that it frustrates him.
And it makes you feel younger as a person. That you're not that grumpy.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, can we talk about, okay, so what are the Hurricanes showing off? Are they being too showy? Is that the problem? Because has he looked in a mirror at any point in the last 30 years with these like ridiculous get-ups that he wears?
Well,
I mean, you talk about showing off. Come on.
I mean,
it's personality.
One
right?
is a shtick, and I'm not assigning that to the Carolina Hurricanes because it's not a shtick for them. I mean, for me, I look at it like exactly what you're saying, though, Rob. I mean, one is Don Cherry, and that's the only way Don Cherry knows how to be Don Cherry. It's not like he can come out in like, you know, in like a polo shirt and like in like a pair of khakis, and everybody goes, "Hey, it's Don Cherry." No, he's that bombastic, you know, guy that wears these ridiculous outfits, and people identify him with that. For Carolina, I look at it and I go, "It's an 82 game season. It's a slog to get through 82 games. There's a ton of time where guys are just like, man, why can't the season be over by now?" Breaking it up right. And having a little fun with it, having a little fun after the game and enjoying yourself in terms of yeah, you won. I mean, they won 36 times this season already. It's not like this is like a rare thing. They are going out and they're finding a way to break up this 82 game season into something that's a little bit more fun. And I think that I'm not saying that all teams need to do it. I'm certainly not going to encourage every team to do it. But if that's their way of breaking up the monotony of a season, I'm okay with it because that makes it more fun.
And it brings them closer as a team too, right?
Like right.
This
oh,
thing
for sure.
You have as a team, you know, not too many teams have it. What I want to see is them doing it on the road.
you mean like when Calgary did it in Raleigh when they won?
Calgary
did it in Raleigh.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh boy, that takes some.
After they beat Carolina, they did it.
Well,
I didn't know that.
I can, you know, speak to. You know, again, having been to games in Raleigh and seeing some of those, you know, it's a Tuesday night game against, I don't know,
the Panthers.
A team that's not very, yeah, the Panthers. That's a perfect example. Tuesday night game against the Panthers. What, you know, the building is, you know, a little more than half full. what is there to get excited about? Well, let's have this be our thing that we're excited about. And I have to say, I have always, you know, like just the, you know, when the players raise their sticks to the crowd before they skate off the ice, you know, at the end of the game after a win, I've always thought that is a nice thing. And this is just, you know, taking that a little bit further. And yeah, I think it's great.
Speaking of keeping things sort of light here, Columbus and Pittsburgh playing right now. Columbus down 1-0. Fill the thrill with the goal. 1-0, 3 minutes into the game.
Finally.
So, yeah,
Phil needs, if he can get off the schneid, he'll be as good as anybody that the Penguins could have traded for. What they need, you know, the thing they needed most is for the players that they already have to start playing up to their, you know, potential or whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, if they can get him going.
More hot dogs.
More hot dogs. The reason I bring that up is tomorrow night, Winnipeg is in Carolina. So keep an eye on the scoreboard tomorrow night in terms of what's going on. And hopefully we don't see too many celebrations after the game. Winnipeg's got to find a way to win after getting stomped by Tampa Bay.
Wouldn't that trade deadline for Columbus just blow up in his face if they don't even make the playoffs?
That's a tough one, isn't it? Because one of those teams, one of those four, is going to be left out. And I have to say, there would be a certain hilarious, you know, a certain bit of hilariousness to it if Columbus is the one that ends up on the outside looking in.
I will say this, though, and don't get me wrong, I understand, you know, business is business and trades happen and all that kind of. Matt Duchene has got to be carrying around the worst record of any player that I know of in terms of A, making the playoffs, and B, being successful in the playoffs.
Yeah. He has not had much success.
No.
At all, when you think about it. Did he do, when he was in Colorado, did they?
No.
And they had a couple of runs, but not.
Nothing important and nothing great. And then he went to Ottawa, and Ottawa was in the crapper, and I mean, don't get me wrong, they went to the conference final, but he wasn't much of a factor in that run.
Yeah.
And then,
I forget that he was on that team, actually, now that you mention it.
And then you look at you know, I mean, if he was on that team, I don't even know if he was. He's only been there for a year, so he wasn't even there at that point.
He probably wasn't, no.
But I mean, I look at that and I go, it doesn't really matter where he goes. He hasn't been an impact. I mean, he's decent in the regular season. But once the pressure of the playoffs hits, Matt Duchene becomes Alexei Yashin all over again.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's true.
So we'll see what happens in terms of him going forward. But that Columbus team, if they miss the playoffs, oh, man, with all those restricted free agents as well, or all those unrestricted free agents, excuse me, they're in tough.
And I mean, Jarmo Kekalainen really had no choice. It was either lose everything or try to win a Stanley Cup. It's pretty much what his options were. So he went for win the Stanley Cup, which as a fan and as a player, you know, that's the best thing you want to hear is your GM trying to get you that.
Oh, for
those
sure,
players
yeah.
win a cup.
Yeah,
but if they don't make the playoffs next year, they're barely gonna win a game.
Well,
if you can't sign any of these guys.
If you look at tonight's game, I mean, Columbus and Pittsburgh is a 4-point game literally because I mean they're chasing
they
down
play,
Pittsburgh,
and they play again Saturday night, I believe
so. Yeah, home and home. Yeah,
so. It's really, I mean, this is where this could absolutely make or break either of them in a big way. There's a part of me that, you know, I grew up, spent a lot of time when I was a kid living in Ohio. We didn't have a hockey team. Well, we had the Cleveland Barons when I was barely old enough to, you know, spell my own name. But, you know, so the thought of a hockey team in Ohio does, you know, there's a certain part of me that would like to see them do well, even though they're a rival for the team that I follow. But, you know, you got Tortorella in there, who I'm not a fan of, and just the whole, you know,
I'd
like to see them do well.
But. I will say, I know you just said you weren't a fan. I will say that I'm more of a fan of Tortorella nowadays than I was when he was in New York or in Tampa Bay or in anywhere else. Reason being is that it seems like he's actually trying to have fun now. And the reason I say that is because that press conference that they had the other day where he answered that reporter's phone and talked to the guy's mom, like, that would have never happened. But he would have lost his mind if that happened in New York. And instead he goes and has a little fun with it. And I mean, I think that's the side of Tortorella that can really be a selling point for the Blue Jackets. But, I mean, again, if you don't win, it doesn't really matter. So
it's one of I remember seeing during the show that – HBO show during the Winter Classic, leading up to the Winter Classic a few years ago. They kind of got into his personality and some of the kids that he had relationships with, that he would, you know, help them out with tickets and all that. And you really did see a different side of him, and not so brusque and impatient and just seemingly frustrated all the time. So I know there's more than that to him, and he definitely does seem like he's just, you know, just okay, bring it on right now, having fun with it. Just historically, he's one of those guys that you just kind of roll your eyes and shake your head about. So it's hard to unlearn that.
Sure, I don't disagree with that. I want to switch gears a little bit here for you, Rob, because you can probably talk more about this, being that it happened near your team anyway, in terms of the Penguins. Mm-hmm. Do you believe, and are you a fan of, number retirements or number honoring? And the reason I ask is that with Jerome McGinley hanging up the number and the banners there, number 12 is off the table now for Calgary, it looks like. First of all, are you a fan of retiring, or are you a fan of honoring? And secondly, what do you remember most about McGinley in Pittsburgh?
Oof, boy. That's a tough one. I'll take the second part first.
Okay.
Again, in Pittsburgh, what is so amazing about it is that I remember almost nothing about it.
It wasn't very long.
I remember
no.
it being such a big, just such a big flop. That's the thing that gets me so much. I remember I did a strip about this for Cartoon Cannon last year about how, you know, Penguins fans went to bed that night before the trade deadline. It looked like he was on his way to Boston. And we were like, ah, shucks, you know, and whatever, we'll still, you know, we'll be fine. And then you get up the next morning, and in the middle of the night, moves were made, and he was coming to Pittsburgh, and it was just amazing. How can this be? I was at his, it might not have been his first game, but it was one of the first ones I went to up there, and nothing really happened. He didn't do much. I figured he's still sitting in. I think that he was badly misplayed by Bylsma. They were trying to put him on the opposite wing that he normally played on, and I just don't think that he ever got comfortable. And there's almost nothing about it that stands out in terms of the actual play on the ice. All that remembers, it just seems like the Penguins, at the height of their hubris, we're going to bring in all these players, we're going to win the Stanley Cup, just give it to us now, and they end up swept by the Bruins in the conference final. Just a huge disappointment. And it's too bad, because I love Iginla. He's always been, a player that I like, a player that I always like to watch when, in the finals run in 2004 Olympic play and all that. So, yeah, it was a bummer. So that's really what I think. I just think of when I think about him in Pittsburgh, I think, like, did that happen? Did I dream that? And as far as number retirements go, I think they're fine. I do kind of like them. I caught a little bit of Shane Doan's retirement ceremony the other day, and it was one of those programs when he was talking to I can't remember the teammate. He's a broadcaster for the Coyotes, but I can't remember who it was that was
Tyson Nash
talking to him. I'm sorry.
Was it Tyson Nash? Was it Nash?
Tyson Nash. That's right. Tyson Nash. And I'll be honest, it brought a little tear to my eye, like just him, talking about, I have no connection to the Coyotes, and all I really remember about Shane Doan is him injuring Chris Letang for the playoffs a couple of years ago. That's the thing that stands out most now. But I liked it. It was fine. I think that you have to do it with a great care, and it should be like a very, very rare thing.
Yeah.
Not a willy nilly. We're going to retire this guy. We're going to retire this guy. It should only be. I mean, it's hard for teams like the Canadiens and Boston and these teams that have had so many good players over so many years that they've got every number from 1 to 25 retired seemingly. For teams like Pittsburgh has, they have Michel Briere and they have Mario Lemieux, and that's it. And there will probably be a few others someday, but let's keep it rare,
Does 68 get up in the rafters at PPG Arena?
Ooh, boy, I think eventually he might.
Okay.
I really do. I don't know. He was just such a... It ended badly, and then it just got comical, but he was such an incredible player for that team. I went back. I did a strip about the game for this week, actually, the one that's currently up on DKPittsburghSports.com. The Penguins played the Whalers back in 1996,
yeah.
And both Mario and Jagr got their 50th goal of the season in the same game. 49th and 50th goals for both of them in the same game, and watching some videos of him, just amazing. So he was just electrifying to watch. I think that eventually he will get up there. But then that kind of opens a can of worms if he gets up there. I mean, obviously 87 is going to be up there someday.
Yeah.
And then 71.
Yeah.
Where do you stop?
58, so, the whole group 58. Of them. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a tough one.
We got about 2 minutes to go here, Rob. I'm going to give you a chance to talk about your site again. I want to ask you one last question, though, and you can laugh at it or you can just pass on it, because I know it deals with Philadelphia and you hate Philadelphia as much as we do. So due to social media, is Gritty the best mascot ever?
Oh, man.
And if your answer is not yes, then I don't know what you're looking at.
I don't want to be the guy that badmouths Gritty, but I'll put it this way. I'll say this. I saw a story leading up to the Stadium Series game where it said something about Gritty as the focal point of the Stadium Series game for yeah. Philadelphia. And I'm like, well, if Gritty is your focal point, how good is your season going if a story about the mascot is the focal point?
That Rocky entrance he made there, though, was pretty impressive.
It was. I mean, I love it. And, you know, the funny thing is that he's from Philly because, you know, everywhere you go, there's a mascot. There's a guy or a man or woman in a suit doing the whole thing. But the Philly Fanatic came to, or one of the fleet of Philly Fanatics, I'm not exactly sure how it works, but somebody in the Philly Fanatic costume came to my local AA ballpark a couple of summers ago, and they were awesome. I mean, they were super entertaining and super funny and just goofing around and doing all the, you know, all the little tricks and all the little messing around with the fans and stuff. So, you know, Philly just, they know mascots. I don't know what else to say. They know giant, terrifying, anthropomorphic mascots in a way that nobody else seems to be able to do. So
they do Orange and Harry well, apparently. Fanatic's not orange, but Gritty is, Claude Giroux is. I mean, they seem to have Scotty Hartnell for a while was there. So
Jakub Voracek is technically.
Voracek, yeah. So, I mean,
yeah.
Orange.
Well, when I first saw Gritty, I was like, what, has Yupi, like, has he fallen on bad times? Has the Expos left town? Has he... I don't know. Is he, you know, moved into a trailer down by the river and he's just having some tough times? I don't know. But
Yuppie's illegitimate child.
Yeah, illegitimate love child right there. We got to get out of here right away. Freer and Jado coming up right away in terms of everything that's happening here at our station. Rob, for you, though, let's promote the stuff a little bit more here. Where can people go to find all of your great artwork? Because I know that... if they haven't seen it, and they're certainly missing it, by all means, they should get their eyes on it.
All right. Okay. Here we go. So weekly strip on DKPittsburghSports.com called Cartoon Cannon. Every Tuesday morning, a new strip. You can find me at RobAllman.com. That's my professional website. You can get in touch with me through there. Or AdamBombBikini.net. You can find a lot of my artwork there. Order comics, books, stickers, the whole thing. I'm on Instagram at AdamBombBikini. I put a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff goes on there, a lot of cool images and things like that. And, yeah, I think that's it.
All right. That sounds good. If you're looking for anything else, again, check out Hockey Blog in Canada tonight. I'm going to have Rob's information linked there as well, where you can find all that stuff. Rob, we cannot thank you enough for joining us here tonight. It was an awesome chat, and I look forward to having you back in the future again.
Oh, yeah, it's so fun. Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem, sir. Thanks again, and we'll let you get out of there. I know your kids are probably looking for you at this point somewhere.
No, they're scraping at the door.
There you go. Yeah. Can't thank you enough, though, Rob. And again, go check out his stuff, everybody, if you're taking a look for some awesome stuff. He's got all sorts of great stuff on there. Again, thanks for joining us, Rob. As we get out of here with a little more Sloan, here is the rest of my life. Beans, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
No, just thanks for Rob for coming on, and everybody enjoy your week, and we'll see you next Thursday.
No, we won't, because next week we're in Charlottetown on the road.
Good luck, Bisons.
Good luck, Bisons, exactly. Ooh, so,
but you'll still hear.
You'll still hear us. Yeah, we'll be on in terms of getting going. Not you, but everybody else. With that, we are out of here for another week. Thanks again, Rob, for joining us. And we'll talk to everybody next week from Charlottetown, PEI, as the hockey show goes on the road here on 101.5 UMFM. I said I'll share the rest of my days.